Welcome back to My Seminary Life Presents Fish Fridays, the musical. Throughout this Lenten season, I'm sitting down each Friday to talk about a different song that I think connects to the overarching themes and postures and practices of the Lent season. Last week started things off with Ash Wednesday freshly in the rearview mirror, looking at the song Beautiful Things by Gungor, a song that reminds us that this is a season that invites us to mourn, to ask the big question of, can anything good of this? Can anything come from this that is good? Can I be redeemed? Am I too far from redemption? Can the world be redeemed? And have these moments of questions, but also a moment of hope as well, that God makes beautiful things out of the dust. We're continuing on with our musical this week, with our next song being I Walk the Line by Johnny Cash. And I know this must come as an incredible shock that a millennial is talking about Johnny Cash, and it's not Hurt. Trust me, I did consider doing a talk on the greatest cover of a song ever, Johnny Cash's cover of the Nine Inch Nails song Hurt. Honestly, I think it would be really cool to do an episode on that, and not only to talk about the themes of the song, but also talk about the line that Cash changed from the original version and how the two are different and communicate two different messages, but they still are like powerful and meaningful. But no, I did consider it. Trust me, I'm a millennial. I did consider doing Hurt. I considered a lot of Johnny Cash's songs because a lot of his songs do fit what we're doing this Lent. I mean, honestly, Johnny Cash himself is like the physical embodiment of Lent. If Lent had a face, it would be Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash looks like how Lent feels. But no, after considering all of the different songs options, I did end up landing here with I Walk the Line, because I do think it captures one of the main practices of the Lent season, and that is, of course, self-denial. So let's just pretend like we all don't know what this song is for a moment. So I Walk the Line is it is Johnny Cash's first big song. It was his first big single. It got to the top of the country charts back in the day. It even crossed over onto Billboard's pop song chart as well. Still to this day, it is often considered to be the greatest country song of all time, and Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest songs of all time, usually it does have it pretty high up there as one of the greatest songs of all time. Top 30, I think it's like number 30, or I think, don't quote me on that, but it is pretty high up on the 500 greatest songs of all time according to Rolling Stone. And it's got a couple unique quirks to it. Even before we get into the lyrics itself, the story goes that Cash came up with the chord progression after he was playing, he was like rewinding a tape and like running it backwards, and he heard like a chord progression backwards, and that inspired him to do the chord progression on this song. Also, famously, during this song, Cash hums. He sings, obviously. He hums. He's at different parts right from the beginning before he starts singing, and at other points throughout the song as well. And he talked about on his show that the reason why he hums is that it's his way of trying to find the right, his pitch, trying to find like where he needs to like hit his notes for the song. And they just kept it because he kept doing it. Now, what I just said to some of you the humming part, that is. For some of you, that's a bit of information that you did not know that you can now tuck away for next time you're at song trivia. Next time you're doing like music trivia at your local pub, you now have something locked away just in case. For the longtime Johnny Cash fans who may be listening to this song or listening to this episode, I'm just tossing all of my words around today. For the longtime Johnny Cash fans who are listening to this episode, that bit that I just mentioned about the humming is the equivalent of somebody who loves Lord of the Rings saying, did you know that during the Two Towers, when Aragorn kicks the helmet, he actually broke his toe? That's why Viggo Mortensen yelled so loud during that scene, and they just ended up keeping it. Or in the music world, when older generation people find out that I love the Monkees, they all have to ask me, oh, did you know that Mike Nesmith's mom helped develop Liquid Paper? And of course I know that. I just said I love the Monkees. Why would I not know that? Anyway, back to Johnny Cash. So the song is iconic. It is considered one of the greatest songs of all time, one of the greatest country songs, the greatest country song, depending on who you ask, of all time, and has some unique quirks to it, even before we get to the lyrics itself. The story behind the lyrics of the song, though, is that this was a song dedicated to Cash's first wife, Vivian Cash, who... this was a song about him staying faithful to her while he is on the road. And we're going to see that a lot as we get into the lyrics here in a second. And that became a big part of her life even after her and Johnny Cash divorced. Obviously, Johnny Cash goes on to marry June Carter. We know the story. But even later on into her life, she wrote an autobiography about her time with Cash, and it's called I Walked the Line. And of course, the whole biopic starring Joaquin Phoenix is called Walk the Line. Like, as much as the millennials, me and my fellow millennials, love Hurt, and so many people love Folsom Prison Blues, like, it all starts here. It all starts here with I Walk the Line. So as I said, this song is specifically about Johnny Cash singing about remaining faithful to his wife Vivian while he is out on the road. Check out the first verse. I keep a close watch on my heart. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. And it goes on from there of Cash talking about like just how enamored he is with his wife, and that keeps him faithful while he's out. And, you know, he sleeps alone at night, but he's just constantly thinking of Vivian while he is doing so. It is a song about faithfulness to your spouse. It's an oddly romantic song, even though you might not necessarily think of that when you first hear it. Like, it's a romantic song. So how does that connect to Lent? How does that connect to what we're doing here? Well, obviously, part of being faithful, Johnny Cash being faithful to his wife, is self-denial. He's very young. He's a rising star. So obviously, at this point in his career, and for a long time afterwards, he's going to have women throwing themselves at him. He is, you know, there's going to be groupies. There's going to be, you know, opportunity while alone on the road. Remember, this is like the 50s and 60s. There, the means of news traveling around is much slower than what we have now. And so this whole song is, yes, about faithfulness, but it's also about self-denial, because you need both in order for it to happen. To be faithful to something, to a cause, to an individual, to a purpose, you have to deny yourself of something along the way. To remain faithful to your spouse, you have to deny yourself opportunities to cheat on them. To remain faithful to working out, you have to deny yourself, you know, the desire to do something else with your time. To, yeah, same with like any other like hobby. Like if you're going to remain faithful to a goal to read every day, you have to deny yourself the fact that, you know, you might want to do something else with your time. Like that's, it's together. And I've talked about a lot before when it comes to Lent, that when it comes to, and fasting in general, part of the reason why I think fasting, Lent, keeping the Sabbath is such a like taboo thing for some Christians is because the idea of a self-denial aspect, even on a temporary basis, like during Lent or during a fast, or even with Sabbath that only comes once a week, that the self-denial aspect seems very binding. It seems very binding. Like, and that's, you know, if it's binding, then it must be a part of the law. And if it's part of the law, well, Jesus died for me, so I don't have to keep the law anymore. Even though there's so many aspects of the law that we continue to keep in other ways, anytime that an aspect of self-denial comes up, there's pushback. You know, or, and if it's not some kind of like argument of the law, then it's some kind of argument of, well, that's just like good works and I'm not supposed to be trying to earn my salvation. I'm not saying that you're trying to earn your salvation. What I'm saying is that faithfulness to something or an individual requires a level of self-denial, whether you're cognitively aware of it or not. Maybe it's easy for you. You know, I use the workout thing there a moment ago. Maybe it's easy for you to remain faithful to your workout goals, so it doesn't even cross your mind what you are denying yourself in return. Same with, you know, people who are very happily married. You might be able to go through very long stretches of time without really being fazed by the fact that you are denying yourself something. The thing about Lent or fasting or, again, even Sabbath is that it's a little bit more in your face in, as a person, that you are practicing self-denial in this time. At Lent, we are committing to some kind of fasting, right? Typically. And in that fasting, if we are to remain faithful to that fasting thing, then there's going to be a level of self-denial. And as I talked about last year and very recently as I did the replay of the prayer of St. Patrick, I think it's also very tempting at this point to feel like, oh, well, then I just have to pull myself up by my bootstraps and, you know, have to like force my way through this time of fasting and self-denial. Hopefully not. Hopefully not. I can understand why you would feel that way. And we're going to talk a little bit more about those hunger pains next time. That's for our next act in the Fish Fridays, the musical. But the thing about self-denial, particularly in this regard, and even going back now to I Walk the Line, Johnny Cash actually offers us a really good line here that I think brings it home a little bit about like the motivation towards faithfulness and self-denial. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you, I know, I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. In a word, love. Love is the reason why we remain faithful. Love is the reason why we practice self-denial. It is a love for someone, something, and is the experience of love reciprocated and given. Given and reciprocated back and forth, that we choose faithfulness and self-denial. As you experience the love of your spouse, just like Johnny Cash experiencing the love of Vivian, as you experience that love and you give that love back and you have a intimate relationship with your spouse, suddenly faithfulness and becomes very easy, and self-denial is something you don't even think about. I mean, I think it even really applies to people who have like avid hobbies of reading or working out. Like, you love to lift. You love to read books. You know, maybe it's not a romantic love, and maybe you don't get that same romantic love back from the thing that you are doing, but there is some form of a connection that you build between yourself and this hobby. You find enjoyment in it. And so being faithful to the thing that you find enjoyment and purpose and all of that from suddenly makes the self-denial aspect seem simple, seems easy. Maybe not all the time, because we're human. Again, we're going to talk about that more next week. I'm very excited for next week's song. It's a band I always look for opportunities to talk about. But here, what we see is that faithfulness and self-denial are not things that we muster up in ourselves, that we clench our fists, our teeth, and our jaws, and our butt cheeks together to try and make happen, but instead is something that, as we experience love from an individual or find some sense of enjoyment and purpose through an activity, a hobby, whatever, suddenly that aspect of faithfulness and self-denial becomes so much easier. Here at Lent, as we are remaining faithful to whatever we are choosing to fast from and exercising a level of self-denial, of not going to that thing that we are craving, our motivation should not be, well, I'm going to grit my teeth for Jesus and God will love me more on the back end of it. No, God already loves you. We love him because he first loved us. We have been brought into an intimate relationship with Jesus. He is the vine. We are the branches. And it is that reality, as Paul talks about in Romans 8, that we are always constantly in the love of Jesus, in the love of God, that we do not have to fear what comes before us. And that when we realize just how truly loved we are, suddenly faithfulness to him or to a cause like a Lenten fast and the self-denial that comes with it seems so much easier. We're not trying to gain points with God. We're not trying to make him happier with us, make him love us more. Instead, this is an acknowledgement of the love that we have received. Our faithfulness to him and choosing to deny ourselves of something is an acknowledgement that we have received his love. And therefore, we walk the line. We walk the line because obviously the temptations are still there. That is what Cash is acknowledging there with that line, I walk the line. That it is a balance between faithfulness and self-denial and giving into temptation. And obviously here, the temptation that Johnny Cash is feeling is very different from a desire to break your Lenten fast temptation. Two very different kinds of temptations. But we are walking the line. That is part of Lent. We are choosing to walk the line, to be faithful to a cause, a Lenten fast, an exercise, self-denial, not to try and get God to like us more, but as an acknowledgement that I am fully loved by God right now. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend and check out the other great shows here on the Anna Zhao Ministries Podcast Network, like The Whole Church Podcast, The Bible After Hours, and my sister show, Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. You can also contact the show at emailseminarylife@gmail.com. If you have other song recommendations that you would like to throw onto the Lenten musical that we have going here, as I have teased a few times now, next week, as we continue on through this musical, we're going to address the humanity aspect. We were very human last week, don't get me wrong, acknowledging our dust that we are. But I'll put it this way. To me, the song next week is the existentialist national anthem, or at least it's this existentialist national anthem. Maybe I shouldn't speak for all of us, but until then, this is Brandon signing off, reminding you as always that theology is best served with a side of coleslaw.